For more than two decades, he was the target of intense scrutiny, with an entire unit at the CIA dedicated to tracking his every move and trying to determine what violence he might perpetrate. When 9/11 confirmed Osama bin Laden's intentions, these same analysts and operatives were now blamed for failing to prevent it, though they had spent years warning about the possibility of an attack. An official selection of the 2013 Sundance Film Festival, the documentary Manhunt tells the true story of the two-decade search for the world's most notorious terrorist. Directed by Greg Barker, the documentary plays on HBO this month and is based on the book by journalist Peter Bergen. Peter Bergen is the author of four books about Osama bin Laden and al-Qaeda, three of which were New York Times bestsellers. He is CNN's national security analyst and a director at the New America Foundation. Peter Bergen, welcome to the roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
At what point in realizing that the book has now become a documentary, what is fascinating about the documentary is that we get to see and hear so much of your work, even your interview with Osama bin Laden. So for you, of putting it into a cinematic sense, I assume makes a great deal of, works for you.
Yeah, I mean, a book and a documentary film are two very different mediums, and there are strengths in both. Obviously, in a book, you can there's more information that you can put in, and you can also talk to people, off the record or on background who simply won't appear on camera. On the other hand, in a documentary, you really get a sense of meeting somebody, and Greg Barker, the director, did a great job of persuading a number of people at the CIA who have often, in many cases, have not spoken on camera before at all, to kind of tell their stories. And you get a very unfiltered view of who these people are, and what how they viewed the fight against al-Qaeda and what happened during the war on terror. The viewer, there's no narration in this documentary, so the viewer is kind of left to his or her own assessment of what these people are saying. Some people are defending coercive interrogations. Some people are criticizing coercive interrogations. One of the interesting things about the documentary is it focuses on a group of women who made up the bin Laden unit at its inception, who kind of kept on the bin Laden trail for many, many years before 9/11 and then after it.
And that is that's a fascinating part of the book and a fascinating part of the documentary. Bring us to early 1997, where you have this interview, this meeting with Osama bin Laden in this mud hut in the middle of the night in the middle of the mountains. How did that come to be, and ultimately, what were you trying to get out of it?
Well, I was living in New York in the early 90s, and when the Trade Center was attacked for the first time in February of 93, it seemed pretty a very interesting development. A group of people, many of whom trained in Afghanistan, had organized themselves to do this attack. And when bin Laden's name first surfaced publicly in 96, it struck me that he might be the guy responsible for this attack ultimately. And that was both sort of true and not true. He didn't order the attack. People who trained in his training camps had done the attack. But he obviously, turned out to be the head of this organization, stroke movement, that then attacked on 9/11. And tracking him down in 97 was simultaneously difficult and easy. Easy in the sense that he had a media advisor living in London openly, with whom I got into contact, and a number of associates living in London who I also got into contact. But they were also very paranoid and disciplined and secretive, and they were very paranoid about us doing the first television interview with bin Laden. And they checked us out over a long period of time, and sort of we went with them to Pakistan and then to Afghanistan, and they were kind of scoping us out along the way, making sure we weren't being followed, and they took a lot of pains to make sure that we weren't being followed, or that we were, they would not allow us, for instance, to even take the camera that we bought for the interview. They provided everything. They didn't even allow us to meet bin Laden. They told us not to wear watches, anything that kind of could contain some kind of electronic tracking device. So they took a lot of care, which is one of the reasons that it took so long to find bin Laden after 9/11. The people around him, valued security for a long time.
What do you get from an interview like that in the sense of how, given that it's so guarded and given that you have an inkling of what you're dealing with, of what kind of true and motivational information, you know, in the sense of what he wants to accomplish?
He was, I didn't know this at the time because he then went on to give a number of other interviews, and what he told us then was very consistent with what he said both later and then after 9/11, which is, he's at war with the United States. It's because of a U.S. foreign policy in the Muslim world, and he gave a laundry list of gripes: U.S. support for Israel, U.S. support for the Mubarak regime in Egypt, U.S. support for the Saudi royal family. I think that was pretty useful. In fact, anybody listening to this conversation can pull up the transcript of this interview, and I think it lays out very clearly 4 years before 9/11 that he was intending to attack the United States, that he had a set of reasons for the attack, no matter how misguided. I think that was useful. And then, of course, what also was useful is just kind of getting a sense of what it's like to be within Al-Qaeda and the inner circle, because obviously that's the kind of environment that we were in when we did this interview. And it struck me that the people around him are very serious, very committed to him. They treated him with a lot of deference. They hung on his every word. A lot of them seemed educated, spoke English, and that was all sort of useful information beyond just the content of the interview.
In Manhunt, when you came to write this story, what did you find so powerful about how did the length of time surprise you, given all that security and given all of that protection? No,
one of the stories that I tell in the book is the CIA hit a brick wall pretty quickly after bin Laden disappeared in December of 2001, and one of the things they did is they went back and they looked at other manhunts for any lessons learned, and one of the lessons that you learn is that these things take time. So whether it was the Israelis trying to hunt down Adolf Eichmann after the Holocaust, that process took them 15 years and eventually took them to Argentina, where he'd been hiding. And even in this country, people like Eric Rudolph, who blew up the bomb in the Atlanta Centennial Park in 1996 during the Olympics there, it took 5 years to find him, and he was hiding not far from where he grew up in the United States. So it wasn't surprising to me how long it took. What's interesting, I think, for the reader of the book is the kind of Agatha Christie story at CIA about how bin Laden was found, because there was a realization at the CIA that there was going to be no magic bullet. There was no detainee who knew where bin Laden was. There was no single piece of information that was going to magically lead them to his hiding place. And they needed to kind of get back and sort of by a process of deductive logic, start looking at almost bank shots to get at bin Laden, as General Hayden said. And the bank shot that really worked in this case, but it took a long time, was going after his courier network. So they weren't looking for bin Laden, they were looking for his couriers as an effort that would then eventually lead them to bin Laden. But that process took a very long time because, first of all, they got an alias for the courier, then they got a real name, which is a very common real name, then they had to intercept his phone calls, and then because he was practicing very careful operational security, they had to physically track him because he was turning his cell phone off and taking the battery out. And so there was a whole series of there was a long process to, each of those steps that I'm describing, sometimes would be 2 or 3 years between a break that got you from the alias of the courier to the real name, and then another 3 years when you had the real name, then getting his phone call, and then being able to track his phone. That took another period of time. So that's an interesting sort of yarn.
You write in the book and in closing about bin Laden's legacy and where his death leaves Al-Qaeda. What do you make of that, given that it's been 2 years?
Well, I think unfortunately with Boston, the events in Boston, that bin Laden's legacy is not Al-Qaeda, which is now in basically, more or less dismantled the central organization, but is the ideology of bin Ladenism, which continues to attract certain young, disaffected young men, whether it's in Boston or in London or in Iraq. And, you know, bin Laden was able to tell a simple story about the world that, you know, a very small minority of people believe is true and are willing to do violence, which is that the, you know, the war against Islam is led by the West, in particular the United States, and you need to take revenge. And that's what we saw, unfortunately, in Boston just recently. So that's sort of the legacy.
Well, the name of the... I just realized my clock completely went out in the studio. I have no idea what time it is. All right, there we go. All right, I have more time with you. Good. When you how were you? Were you pleased with the were you pleased with the documentary?
Yeah, I mean, very pleased with the documentary. It's, you know, a documentary is 100 minutes, and my book was 90,000 words, and so, you know, for the director of the documentary.
Well, you get the final word then, don't you?
Yeah, no, but the director had to make choices about which stories to focus on. And in my book, there's 4 pages about the female analysts of the CIA who really were, involved in the hunt for bin Laden at the beginning of the, you know, long before 9/11. And he took those 4 pages and turned it into, you know, half of the documentary. And I think that was a very good and interesting decision. And, you know, so, but in his book, you know, in his documentary, there's vast sections of my book that don't get treated. I mean, the whole political decision-making process at the White House, in the National Security Council, the kind of military planning, a lot of the detective story about how bin Laden was found, he alludes to that only briefly, because in a way his documentary is more about the two-decade battle between the CIA and Al-Qaeda as much as it is about the hunt for bin Laden himself, which is more the focus of my book.
Well, both are fascinating. The book is Manhunt, the 10-year search for bin Laden from 9/11 to Abbottabad, and it is published by Broadway, now out in paperback and with an HBO documentary cover to it. The documentary is airing on HBO this month. Peter Bergen, a great pleasure. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks for the interview.
Thank you.
Much.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.